Masechet Baba Mesi'ah Daf Tet. We're talking about various ways of acquiring an animal, some that work, some that don't, some are more stronger than others. And specifically, Rav Yehuda said that, after some discussion, that Rav Yehuda said, in the name of Shmuel, said that sitting on an animal is not a form of acquisition. We clarified that riding it, if you're kicking the animal and making it move, yeah, then yes, that's the same as leading the animal, but just sitting on an animal does not make a form of acquisition. We challenge this from our Mishnah, and now we're going to first bring a proof from a Braita, and then after that we're going to say it's not a proof, and then after that we're going to challenge it once again from a different source. Tashema shenayim sheyu moshchin begamal umanhigin bachamor o sheyachad moshech veachad manhig. If two people were pulling a camel or driving a donkey, there's an important distinction between the two. The normal way to make a camel move is to attach something to its head and reins and pull the reins from the front, and the camel follows. Whereas the normal way to make a donkey move is to go from behind and use a prodder and stick it to the animal from behind and push it so that it goes. That's the best way. It is possible to pull a donkey from the front, but it's not going to be very effective. You can try prodding a camel. It probably will go, but not as effective. So that's not the normal way to do it. Okay, therefore, if you have two people that are both pulling a camel by the reins, which is a valid form, but then they both come and claim that it's theirs, then we'll split it. And the same thing if they're both prodding the donkey, then they also, that's a valid claim, and they both get it. Or, according to Tanakama, if one person is pulling and one person is pushing, from the simple reading, it sounds like they're both they're doing this either to a camel or to a donkey. And so, according to Tanakama, even though that's not a normal way to be pushing a camel, nevertheless, if you push it and it moves, okay, you made it move, and so that is a valid acquisition. So b'mida zot kanu, in this way they acquire it. We'll see, this is an interesting language. It sounds like in this way as opposed to some other way. What is this excluding? That's Tanakama. Rabbi Yehuda omed le'olam lo kana ad sheteh meshicha begamal v'hanaga b'chamor. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says, no, you don't acquire it unless you're pulling an animal or pushing a donkey. It has to be that. If you try pushing a camel, even if it goes, you did not acquire it. And so he would agree, in the case of two people pulling a camel or pushing a donkey, they both acquire it. But in the case of one and one, whoever's doing it the normal way acquires it. Whoever's doing it the abnormal way does not acquire it. That's the Braita. Now here is the attempted proof. Katani mihat o shea echad moshech v'echad manhig. Moshech manhig in aval rachub la. Look how the discussion is regarding pulling and pulling. So those are valid ways, right? Whether it applies to both animals or to one animal is discussion, but these are valid ways. But sitting on an animal is not, there's no discussion here. So can we assume that that means that sitting on an animal is not an acquisition? Hu hadin dafil rachub. Hat katani moshech manhig.
No, it could be that this Braita is assuming that sitting on an animal is in fact a form of acquisition.
So why did it not mention rachuv, and it only talked about pulling and pushing? Because the Tanakama wanted to tell you that he disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda. That's the object of discussion, is about pulling and pushing when it's the abnormal way to do so. Since Tanakama wanted to exclude the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda said, you can only acquire something by pulling a camel or by pushing a donkey. And Tanakama said, not so. Even if you do it the opposite way around, it's okay. So that was the point of this whole discussion, that we weren't dealing with riding at all. And so it could very well be that riding is a form of acquisition. It's just not relevant to the discussion here. And therefore, there is no proof. But then we ask, wait, if Tanakama was only coming to teach me not that the Rabbi Yehuda is wrong, then it could have done it in a simpler language. It could have put all the cases together as one and said, two people that are either pulling or pushing, whether it's a camel or a donkey, any combination of pulling and pushing with either animal would be okay. Why did it separate it out into a separate clause, which sounds like it's teaching us that, you know, these are all the ways
of acquiring an animal. So we say, okay, you're right. Ika chad sad de la kane, ika da amre meshicha bachamor, vika da amre hanhaga bagamal. So the reason why he couldn't put it all in the one is because, in fact, the Tanakhama thinks that there is, in one direction it works, in the other direction it doesn't work. In other words, for the camel or for the donkey. And so there's two versions of this explanation, and we don't answer which one it is. Some say that, you know, the one that works is pulling a donkey works, but not pushing a camel. And others say the opposite, that pushing a camel works, but not pulling a donkey. Either way, the reason why it separated it into separate clauses is to say that principle. Two people can either be pulling a camel, or two people can be pushing a donkey, and those are proper ways. Or one and one, but that one and one only applies to either a camel or a donkey. It's not really clear from this which one it is, which makes it a bit of a difficult reading if it's not clear. But anyway, the point is that it couldn't have put it all together because not all the variations are permitted, only one way and not the other. Those Tanakhama would agree with Rabbi Yehuda, we're going in one direction, but not in the other direction. That's why it's written in this way. But still, the entire Baraita is to exclude Rabbi Yehuda and was not giving a comprehensive list of all ways of acquiring an animal, and that's why it doesn't mention riding the animal, and so there is no proof for Rav Yehuda from here. Okay, that's all one version of this discussion. We have a second version that's very similar. And here, the proposed proof is not from the opening line, but rather from the line that we asked, I pointed out, that says, "Bemida zo kana." If you do it in this way, you can acquire it. Why say in this way as opposed to what? What is it excluding? Is it not excluding sitting on an animal, that only in this way, pulling or pushing, but not sitting on an animal? Sitting on a mount does not acquire. That's a proof for Rav Yehuda, right? We say, no, la lemeute ipecha. No, it's to contradict the opposite, meaning if one tries to push a camel or pull a donkey, then that doesn't work. That's why it says in this way, you have to do it the normal way, not the abnormal way. Now we ask about that reading. That doesn't fit at all in the words of the Baraita, and because he cannot explain this clause, Oshia and Echad Manhig, Moshe v'Echad Manhig. And furthermore, even if you could somehow fit it in, Yahachi Hainu Rabbi Yehuda. That's the same as the Yehuda's opinion. Yehuda says has to be only the normal way, not the abnormal way. So then you can't read it like that. That line is coming to exclude the abnormal way, because that's the Yehuda's opinion. Ika Benayu. So there is still a difference between Tanakhama and the Biuda in one direction. So because one way it will work and one way it will not work. Which way? That is still not clear, as just as before. So some say that pushing a camel does not acquire it, and some say pulling a donkey does not acquire it, and some say pushing a camel does not acquire it. One way or another, we're not sure which way it is, but now we can read that line also smoothly. Oshe achad Moshe v'achad manhig, in one direction, whatever, let's say that applies to a camel only. So in this way, one acquires it, but not the other way around if one did the wrong way for a donkey, right? Or vice versa. This way, but not that way. That's what this is coming to exclude. It has nothing to do with sitting on an animal. And again, so there's no proof from here. Okay. Tashema. And now we have another new Braita, which we're going to use as a challenge against Rav Yehuda. Tashema. Echad rachuv chamor ve'echad tafus b'mosera. Ze kana chamor ve'ze kana mosera. Shema mina rachuv kane. If one person is sitting on an animal, rachuv can mean both sitting and riding. and making it move. Okay, but right now, let's just say sitting on the animal in a riding position, and the other person is holding on to the reins. So the one that's sitting on the animal acquires the animal, and the person who is holding on to the reins acquires just the reins. Okay, this is a pretty humorous way of putting it. I don't say that there's no humor in baraitot. They come into court, and they say, oh, yes, you get the animal. You're holding the reins, you get the reins. And so he walks out of court, as if he's victorious because he was holding onto the reins, and he walks out with a piece of rope, but he doesn't get the donkey. Okay, so in other words, really he loses. He doesn't get the animal. He gets the reins because he's holding that. Okay, fine. Now, anyway, we're bringing this because we can see that sitting on an animal is a form of acquisition. In fact, it's a very good form of acquisition, right? It's even stronger than the guy that's holding the reins. So isn't this a challenge to Rav Yehuda, who said that sitting on an animal is not a form of acquisition? And we answer, Hachanameh b'manhig b'raglav, as we answered on the previous stuff. Here also, it's talking about achuv, doesn't just mean sitting, but actually he's riding the animal, and he's kicking it and making it go. As long as you're making the animal go, and it's in a normal way, there's certainly a normal way, then he acquires the animal. But indeed, this baraita may very well agree with Rav Yehuda, that if he's only sitting on the animal, and not making it move, then he would not acquire it. Okay, now we ask, if in fact you're riding the animal and you're acquiring it by doing that, then the guy who's riding the animal should also acquire the reins. After all, the reins are attached to the animal, and he's making the animal go, so he should be able to take the things that are attached to the animal as well. Why does he not get any of the reins? So we answer, you know what? We have to amend the braita. The one who's riding on the animal gets the animal, and he also gets half of the reins, and the other one who's holding it gets half of the reins. The reins themselves would be like a garment that they're coming in. Each one is holding half. One isn't physically holding it, and the other one is not holding it directly, but he's riding the animal, and the animal is attached to it. So since they have an equal claim to the reins, then they will split it. But now we're going to bring in the other problem that Rami Bar Chama brought up yesterday, which is that if something is half on the ground and you pick up the other half, that's not a form of hagbaha. You did not lift the entire thing off the ground, so you don't acquire it. You can only acquire it if two people are lifting it together and each one has the other one in mind that they'll acquire it for themselves and for the other person. So therefore, over here you said that they split the reins, they each acquire half of it, but that only works one way. The one who's on the animal, so he is on the animal and he's moving the animal, and so he acquires the animal and that which is attached to the animal. That's for that half. And the other half is the guy who's holding the reins is a competent person, and so he'll pick up the reins and he'll realize, oh, he's only picking up half, and so we'll have in mind for his half and the other half too, like they were cooperating, as we said yesterday. So fine, the one that's on the animal can acquire that half of it, but the one that's holding on to the reins, he has his half, but how is he going to get the other half? After all, it's just the donkey that's holding it up, and the donkey does not have competence to think, oh, you know what? If I only pick up my half, then we won't get any. If we each only pick up our halves, we won't get any. I'll have in mind for him, and he'll have in mind for me. The donkey is not thinking through all this whole sugya, and therefore there's no way for the one that's picking up the reins to acquire anything at all. So we say, you know what? You're right. Let's revise the braita again. In fact, the one riding on the donkey, he gets more and more as we go along. He gets not only the donkey, but all of the reins, because all of the reins are attached to it, and the other guy who picked it up had in mind also to lift it off the ground on his behalf. So the guy in donkey is very good. Whereas the one who's holding the reins, all he gets is the part that's actually in his hands. It's physically in his hands, so that he makes an acquisition on that. But the rest of it was not lifted up off the ground on his behalf, so he doesn't get it. Okay, so now he's left with just a few inches of the string. Hai mai, but then we challenge this. Im tinsel lomar hamagbia mesia lachavero kana chavero hanemi lehecha de kamagbale adata de chavre. Hai adata dide kamagbale ihu lakane lacharini makne. No, this whole logic doesn't make sense, because even if you say that someone, as Rami Bar Chama did yesterday, that if one person can lift something up on behalf of his friend, even if he doesn't acquire it himself, he can pick it up. Well, I can see a watch. I say, you would really like that watch. I'll pick it up on your behalf, and then you get it. That rule only applies where he is picking it up on behalf of his friend, and he has this other person in mind. But this person, the person holding the reins, he has in mind to pick it up for himself primarily, right? He primarily wants it for himself, and he doesn't even get it, as we just said, because no other competent being is picking up the other half. So he doesn't acquire for himself. So now he's going to acquire it only for the guy on the donkey. This doesn't make sense, right? In other words, the one who's picking up holding the reins, right? Let's say he's saying, I want this for myself. That's why he picked it up. And he realizes, well, no one's picking up the other half. Okay, fine. I'll have the other guy in mind also. But if he doesn't get it himself at all, he only gets 2 inches of it in his hand, then there's no way, if he doesn't pick it up for himself, that he's going to at least get half of it for himself, then he's not going to be willing to pick it up for the other guy and have the other guy get the whole thing. He's only cooperating in this so that he can get at least half. And so therefore, this doesn't make any sense at all. By the way, this phrase, im timse lomar, we saw the exact same phrase on the previous staff. But on the previous staff, it didn't make so much sense because we weren't dealing with Rami Bar Chama. It was already the opinion of Rava, and Rava said im timse lomar ha-magbia. Whereas here, the language makes more sense, because we're saying, even if you say like Rami Bar Chama, who is more lenient and says you can pick it up for your friend totally, still, even according to him, it wouldn't work. The point is that this question is originally here in this context, where it flows much more smoothly, and it was copied and pasted on the previous stuff within the language of Rava, because it's the same idea of the question, even though the specific language of the question makes more sense here than there. Tangent over. Amarav Asher, ze kana chamor ubet pageha, veze kana ma shetafus biyado, vashar lo kana lo ze velo ze. So Rav Asher now finally amends. Before, these were all without a name, the amendations, but now Rav Asher is a named Amora, and says as follows: the one who's riding on the donkey will acquire the donkey, and also bet pageha means the halter. The halter is the straps actually attached to the horse's head themselves. If he gets the donkey. If he gets the donkey, then certainly gets the straps that are attached to the donkey. And the other one who's holding the reins, he gets the section that he's actually is in his hands, because that he's physically holding. But the rest of it, nobody acquires it, because nobody lifted the entire thing off the ground. The one holding the reins only lifted his part off the ground, but the other part was not lifted off the ground by a competent person. And the one on the and the competent person is only going to lift his part off the ground if he can get half of it, but he is not getting anything, only 2 inches, and therefore he's not going to have in mind to pick it up only for the rider, and therefore nobody gets it. Rabbi Abu Amar, Leolam kedekatane, hoyo v'yachol lenateka l'habia etzlo. But Rabbi Abu says, I don't want to change the language of the Braita. I can explain the Braita as is, right? The original language of the Braita was that the rider gets the donkey, and the one holding the reins gets all of the reins. Why should he get all of the reins? Well, because he can go and detach it from the donkey and pull the whole thing towards himself. So even if he didn't physically detach it, but he could, and even though if he didn't pull it onto himself, but he could, so since he has the power to do that, so even if he didn't just yet, we should consider it as if the entire thing is in his hand, And is in his control, and therefore he gets the entire thing. Okay, v'had Rabbi Abhu baruta hi. However, we say this statement of Rabbi Abhu is baruta bar, like baraita. It's outside. We kick it out. There's another version of this line. You see the word baruta appears in the printed editions. It also is in one manuscript. However, most of the manuscripts say badita or baduta. Baduta means it's made up. It's fiction. This is a false statement. They have similar meanings, but baduta seems to be a little stronger than baruta. But either way, the point is, we are rejecting this statement of Rabbi Abhu. Why? De'ila te'machi talitchi munachat chesya al gabe karka vechesya al gabe amud. Oba echad v'igbiya chesya me'al gabe karka, oba echad v'igbiya chesya me'al gabe amud, hachi named kama kane ubatra la kane, ho'il v'achol lenatek ulabi etzlo, Ela had Rabbi Abhu barutahi or badutahi. Because if you agree with Rabbi Abhu and say that as long as you can pull something towards you, even if it's sitting on something, here it's attached to the horse. But so it is elevated, but it's not elevated by anyone with da'at. So as long as it's elevated even by something without da'at and you have the ability to pull it towards you, acquire it. If you think that, then imagine the following case of a garment that half of it's on the floor and half of it's on a pillar. So it's raised, but it's not raised by a person who's thinking of raising it. One person comes and he picks up the part that's on the floor. And so now, according to the Rabbi Abhu, he would acquire it since he raised half and the other half he has potential to pull off of the place where it is, and it's not on the ground, and so as he just pulls it right off the pillar, and then it's all in the air, so it's not on the ground, and so that would be sufficient for making a full acquisition. Even if he doesn't pull it, just the fact that he can pull it means he has full control over it. And then, so if someone did that, he would acquire it. And then even if someone came afterwards and picked up the half that's on the pillar, would you say that this would be the same and the first gets it and the second gets zero? But that's not true. We would not say that. We don't have a specific source that we wouldn't say that. But Gemara is assuming that would be the same as the case in our Mishnah. No, if two people, one person only picked up half, that doesn't do anything. The other person picks up half. Doesn't matter if it's on the floor or at a pillar. So then acquire it if they have in mind that they're picking it up for themselves and for the other person. But otherwise, it wouldn't work. And so since we know nobody would agree in this case, and this case is the same as the donkey case, therefore we reject the opinion of Rabbi Abhu. Tashema, Rabbi Eliezer omer, rachu basadeh manhig ba'ir kana, hachaname manhig beraglav. Okay, one more challenge to Rav Yehuda, who said that riding is not a form of acquisition. Here, this beraita says that according to Rabbi Eliezer, if you ride an animal in the field, or you lead it in the city. So that's the normal way. Normally, if you have an animal in the field, so you ride it. You want to get there faster. But you're in the middle of a city. It's hard to ride an animal in the middle of the alleyways and people are walking and all that. So in the city, it's normal to lead the donkey along. So either way, one acquires it. So here, notice that it says sitting on an animal is a form of acquisition. That's a challenge to Rav Yehuda. But we give the same answer as before. Here also we're talking about where he's leading it with his legs, meaning he's sitting on it, kicking it, and making it move. And there everybody would agree, even Rav Yehuda in the name of Shmuel would agree that if you make it move while you're riding on it, then that's a form of acquisition. But then we ask, Ihachi hanu manhig. Well, then that's the same thing as manhig. Manhig is leading it, but here you're also making it move. So you're driving it. So isn't that the same thing? And the answer is today, gavne manhig. Oh, there's two types of leading. Either if you're pulling it on the ground or prodding it, or if you're riding it. And so, yes, it's just saying that there's two ways to do it, and it's teaching you that there's a proper way to do it depending on where you are.
So if he's, in fact, he's making it go, he's kicking it and riding it, so then how come in the city it's no good?
Because that's not the normal thing that people do, that they ride in a crowded city. So it has to be acquired in a way that's normal to make it move in that place. And
now we have a reductio ad absurdum argument. Rav Asher tells Rav Kahana, well, how about if, let's say, there's a wallet there on Shabbat, and someone sees it and picks it up to acquire it on Shabbat? Well, it's not the normal way of people to pick up wallets on Shabbat, because it's mukseh. So would you say, oh, since it's not normal, people usually just don't touch it on Shabbat, since it's not normal, therefore, he would not acquire it? That doesn't make sense. Everybody would agree that although he violated mukseh, still he did a form of acquisition. Ela ma'ida avad v'kaneh, bidi avad, he violated, but still he acquired it, even though no one else is picking it up, no one else is treating their wallets like that on Shabbat, and they're not touching it. But still, if you did touch it, even though it's not normal in that place to do so, it's an acquisition. So here too, we should apply the same thing. Even if you're riding an animal in the middle of the city, even though it's abnormal, but now you did it, so you should be able to acquire it.
Rather, this whole baraita is not talking about a found item. If you find it and you ride it in the middle of the city, even though it's unusual, you acquire it. But rather, we're talking about a case of a buyer and a seller, where the seller says, here, take the animal, but on condition that you acquire it in the way that normal way that people do so. And if it's he's selling it in the city and the animal's in the city, so then the normal way there is to pull it and not to sit on and not to ride it. And so that's where he has to ride it, because that's built into the condition of the sale. And now some exceptions to the rule. If it's a public domain, meaning if it's within the city, but it's in the main thoroughfare, on the main highway of the city, main street, then people do ride animals. It's a big street, so that would be normal, and it would be a form of acquisition. And if he's an important person, then it's also a form of acquisition, because important people, they don't lead their animals. That's like a low thing to do. But an important person is always riding his animals, even in a crowded little street. And if it's a woman, she acquires it, because it's unusual for women to be leading the animal. If she has an animal around, she's going to be riding it, I assume side saddle, but still she's riding it, so that's normal, a normal way for her to be moving an animal in the small street. And if it's a detestable person, zila, right, a low life, also he acquires it, because a low life doesn't care about the normal rules and being polite to everybody else, and he goes, he doesn't care, and he rides an animal. So kind of ironically, if he's a very important person, or if he's a very low life person, either way, he can acquire it. I guess it's the people in the middle that are not so wealthy and important that they ride all the time, but they're normal, polite gentlemen. They would not ride in the middle of the, they would not ride an animal in the middle of a small street. And so if it's a normal for that person, so we see it's kind of subjective. If it's a normal way of that type of person in that type of place to ride, then yes, it's in a form of acquisition in a case of a sale. But if it's an abnormal way and one put that condition into the sale, then the buyer would not acquire it.
We next ask a related question of pulling an animal and also acquiring something else thereby. Someone tells his friend, why don't you pull this animal to acquire the vessels that are on it? So you have an animal
that's owned by one person and has vessels on it. And so in order to acquire the vessels, I mean, of course, you could always pick up the vessels, but this is an easier way, right? Pull the animal, and by pulling the animal, you will acquire the vessels that are upon it. Does that work? Can you do it? Is that a valid form of acquisition? Before we answer the question, we have to clarify. Liknot mi amar le kane el meshoch behemazo ukane kelim shaleha mahu. To buy, well, he didn't tell him that to acquire it. It was not clear enough in this original formulation that he's pulling the animal to acquire it, but he's not actually saying, and I want you to acquire it. In order to acquire something, you need a giver or seller to say, you can have this. And here he's just telling him the action to do, but not actually saying that I am giving it to you. Okay, so we adjust the language and say, pull this animal, and by doing that, ukne, I want you to acquire the vessels that are upon it. All right, good question. Mi mehanya meshichad bema laknuya kelim o la? Does pulling an animal work to acquire the vessels? The question is, pulling an animal works to acquire an animal, but you can't, right? But does that work now indirectly to also acquire the vessels, or do you have to do a separate transaction on the vessels and pick them up? Okay, that's the question. Amarava. I amale kene behema ukne kelim mikani kelim haser mealecheti vechaser mealechet lo kana. Rava says, no, it doesn't work. If he said separately, acquire the animal and also acquire the kelim by pulling it, it still wouldn't work. Would he acquire the vessel? No, because it's a moving courtyard. A person can acquire something through his courtyard. So I throw something into your courtyard or deliver it into your courtyard, and now it's there, that's yours. That's a way of acquiring something. A courtyard is an extension of you, either like as a messenger or extension of your own hand, because you own it, and it's safe and sound in there. It's right, nice and fenced off, and so it's guarded. That's fine if it's a stationary courtyard, but a moving courtyard is not safe enough. That's not considered going into your property, into your domain. And since an animal is moving, it's no good. And even if you say, oh, it's a standing animal, it's not walking, it's just standing. So now it's not a moving courtyard. But we have a rule that if anything that could walk, one does not acquire it, then even if it's standing or sitting, one does not acquire it. The fact that it could walk, and if it would walk, it would not be good. So too, if it just happens to be still now, but it's a movable thing, it's no good. However, if the animal is bound up and cannot walk, then that's good. That's like a courtyard. Here's your animal. And now, you have to also pull it somehow while it's bound up. But if you can do that, right, and you put it on person's animal and the animal is bound up, well, then that's a courtyard. Even without pulling it, it would be a courtyard if it's yours and you put it on there. So you put it's like putting it on the person's property. And so that would work. So based on what we just said above, that a moving courtyard does not acquire something, we have a question. If one was traveling in a boat and fish jumped up and landed on the boat, would you say that he does not acquire it, even though it's on your boat right there? They jumped on there, but because the boat is moving, you don't acquire it, but someone else can come and just take it? And the answer, no, a boat is different. The boat is still, and it's the water that's moving it. And as we picture a boat in moving current, so the boat, relative to the water, is actually stationary. It's just that the entire water is moving, and so the water is moving compared to the earth, right? But that doesn't count. That's called stationary, even though the whole thing around it is moving. Otherwise, even land is moving. We're traveling through space at very, very quick, fast speeds. But you don't consider that moving because the courtyard is not moving relative to all the area around it. So too, a vessel is not moving compared to the area around it. That's if assuming it's on a current. Rak la get la toche ka o la toch kalta hachana me de la megarsha. A similar question of Esrav Asher, if a person, a woman is walking in the street and her husband throws a get into her lap or into her basket, would you say that she's not divorced because her basket is like a moving courtyard, and since because she's walking, so therefore it's, if it's a moving courtyard, then it would not be good that she does not get it and she's not divorced. This can't be, because in the Mishnah in Masechet Gittin says that this does work and she is divorced. But why not, according to the logic that we said above? And here too, similar to the boat, we say that the basket is resting compared to her, and she's the one that's walking. So, and from her perspective, she and the basket, from her perspective, the basket is not moving. She happens to be moving. That's fine. As long as in relation to her, it's not moving, that's considered a stationary courtyard, and it's nice and safe and guarded, in her basket, and therefore it's a valid get.
Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen ve'amen.